We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission, to kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
Rostock, Germany, Monday, April the 16th, 1945.
Here they come.
You've nothing to fear. Be calm.
It's easy enough for you to say, Niels. Your papers are genuine, mine are forgeries.
Quiet.
Your papers.
Good evening. Here they are.
Good. They seem to be in order.
Thank you.
But yours? You're a photographer?
Yes.
I see.
What is it, Lieutenant?
This man's passport, sir. Says he's a photographer, Swedish. I wonder if you would mind checking his papers, sir. They don't seem to be quite in order.
It doesn't matter, Lieutenant. They're expected. Dear Precious, you will come with me.
Yes, Captain.
I've been instructed to drive you to headquarters in all haste. Our visitor from Berlin awaits you there. As his time is limited and you are already a half hour late, your photographer may as well remain with the boat. I'm sure there will be no time for picture taking.
No, Captain. It is better that my photographer accompany me. Specific arrangements were made. Naturally, everything must be as the visitor from Berlin expects.
Naturally. You will both step this way to my car, please. Your photographer can ride in front of the driver.
For a minute back there, I thought I'd had it.
You'll have to get used to this sort of thing, my friend, if you're going to do many more assignments for intelligence.
Wonder where our big brace is.
Being informed of our arrival, even with everything collapsing, the Germans are relentless about protocol.
I'd hope for a potentially useful scrutiny of the town while driving here.
Fine.
Oh, damn it, man. It does serve as a naval base. It's probably bristling with guns. They drove so fast. The streets were so empty, all I saw was a gray blur of buildings. I wonder where all the people are.
Inside, probably. Listening to the sanitized German radio pronouncements about the Russian bombardment along the Oder.
After 5 years of strident propaganda, seldom borne out by the facts, you'd think they'd learn to read between the lines, eh?
Perhaps they have.
If so, then there must be a lot of long, depressed faces behind those closed shutters.
Sounds like him coming. Remember, he knows that your cover is false. But when he asks your identity, don't give him the real one. Take another name. And rank. Something impressive. Brigadier.
What? No, I'd never get away with it. I look too damn young.
As you wish. He knows who I am.
Bills.
Good evening, Herr Freshius.
Sir.
You may introduce yourself.
Broom. Major Robert Broom, United States Army.
I am SS Gruppenführer Hermann Fächerlein. You are late, Major Broom. Your delayed appearance has already jeopardized these negotiations. Another 5 minutes, and I would have departed.
I'm glad you waited. Would have been a pity to waste the trip.
Your German seems adequate. Will we need Herr Freischius as an interpreter?
That's up to you, sir.
You do appreciate the need for absolute confidentiality. If this matter were to leak out...
Yes, I understand your nervousness.
It's not a question of nervousness, Major, but security. Herr Freischius, would you mind awaiting us in the hall?
No, sir. No.
Thank you. One can't be too careful, even the most trusted of men.
Of course.
It was difficult enough, disguising my schedule so that I could slip away to Rostock unnoticed. Even now, my plane is being refueled for the return trip to Reichsführer Himmler's headquarters in Hohenlichen.
I understand, sir.
I must report to him the results of our discussion before I am missed. Though you may not have heard, Major Broom. The Russians launched their long-awaited attack on the order this very morning. And I am expected at a meeting with the Führer and his military advisers this evening. I cannot afford to raise suspicion by being late.
Since time seems to be such importance, perhaps we should try to be as brief as possible.
Yes, yes, naturally. That is exactly what I felt it necessary to stress.
Good.
I am thankful to Herr Freischus for transmitting our proposal to you. I trust you have brought good news for the Reichsführer. When and where is the meeting with General Eisenhower to take place?
I bear no concrete decision at all. My superiors have asked me to inform you that certain revisions are necessary before we can consider Reichsführer Himmler's terms.
Huh? What revisions?
I'm not authorized to discuss them. My function is to appraise your willingness to cooperate and to arrange a private conference between you and a suitably high-level negotiator.
Conferences? Why do you think I am here today? Conferences, indeed. You Americans think nothing of arranging meeting after meeting while the Russians hurl themselves at Berlin. I must tell you, sir, the Reichsführer will be deeply disappointed when he hears of this further delay. No, he will be furious. How dare your government send me a man who is not authorized to carry these proceedings forward?
I take it, then, that you decline to meet with our negotiator. Your position will be relayed to the proper authorities as soon as I return to Sweden.
Wait. One moment. Please.
I see no point in carrying this further. Please convey my government's regrets to Reichsführer Himmler for the time and risk he had undergone.
Please, Major Broom. You don't understand. Another meeting, I can't abandon my duties again. I would be missed. It's too dangerous.
My instructions are to arrange the meeting as close to your duties as possible. It'll take place in Berlin.
What? In Berlin? You must be joking. Our military situation may be critical, but you surely can't expect to enter Berlin at will.
It will be arranged.
It would have to be very soon.
Oh, it will be. Can you make yourself available on Friday, 4 days from now?
Friday is the Führer's birthday. We will be expected to be on hand through most of the afternoon to welcome well wishes. It would have to be quite late.
I've been directed to arrange a late meeting for security purposes. We have no desire to endanger you. Shall we agree on Friday night, 11 o'clock?
Where? Even late, I can't be away from the Chancellery for any length of time.
For your convenience, my superior suggests that the meeting take place at the edge of the Tiergarten, near the Chancellery. The discussion need not be lengthy. No longer than one would spend on an evening stroll. We'll chat for a few minutes. It can appear very casual.
Evening strolls have not been very common since the air raids began. But perhaps that could work to our advantage. The streets should be empty. The park definitely will be.
Where would be best, then?
There's an intersection on the east end of the park where Bellevue Strasse crosses Tiergartenstrasse to form a type of wedge. It's less than half a mile from the Chancellery. It would be safest there.
You will, of course, come alone. Our negotiator will appear sometime between 11 and 11:30. He will greet you by your first name.
Yes, that is acceptable. It can be done. Will you be there with him?
Me? No. You have no need for my presence.
True. Very well, Major Broom. 11 o'clock this Friday at the edge of the tea garden. But a final decision must be reached that night, if it is to be reached at all. The Russians will not wait, and neither will Reichsführer Himmler.
Yes, I understand. I will so inform my government.
See that you do. And now, as my time is short, I will have you and Herr Freischus escorted back to the boat.
Well, what did you think of Gruppenführer Fegelein, Bascom?
You didn't tell me he'd be so nervous, Nils.
Wouldn't you be? He lives in dread that Bormann or one of the others in the Chancellery clique might find out what Herr Himmler has put him up to. Cause enough for tension.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Still, it's a bit contagious, you know. I found myself getting jumpy, too.
If you think he's nervous here, you should see the way he acts in Berlin, even with me. Not that it's necessary. After all, I'm neutral. and a journalist. The Germans allow me to come and go almost as I please. Nor is it at all unusual for me to contact German functionaries. Yet the Gruppenführer is so cautious that he won't even allow me to telephone him at the Chancellery.
Have you managed to keep in touch with him?
Only with difficulty. If something comes up and I want to see him, I'm forced to go through a tiresome rigmarole. Code words, countersigns, all that.
What kind of code words?
Now, why should that interest you, Captain Bascom? Planning a trip to Berlin? Well, Captain Bascom, you haven't answered my question. Are you planning a trip to Berlin? Come, my friend, give. I've had the feeling since meeting you that something is in the wind. What is it? More than just these negotiations, isn't it? Are the Americans going to try to beat the Russians into Berlin after all? Are they sending in agents in advance? You feel you may have let something slip. No, do not worry, my friend. I am sensitive to these things. Call it journalist's instinct for news, a chronic inquisitiveness. And naturally, it is the instinct of a spy.
I didn't think there was anything to be suspicious about.
In answer to your question about the codes, whenever I want to see the Gruppenführer, I take a room at the Adlon Hotel.
Adlon Hotel?
Yeah, just a few blocks from the Chancellery. There I seek out the assistant manager. He's an amiable man. Robeus is his name. So I tell him I'm seeking opera tickets at the Kroll. That's my part in the rigmarole.
Yeah, and then?
Then, well, he calls the Gruppenführer, the Chancellery, and says something ridiculous about having received a shipment of choice albacore or a few tins of Cherbourg pâté. And the Gruppenführer then sneaks to the hotel and creeps up the back stairs to my room. I suppose it would be amusing if I didn't find it so exasperating. Do you know the Adlon?
Stayed there once.
Recently? Since the start of the war?
No. This is the closest I've been to Berlin since 38. I've done most of my time in France and Italy, working with the resistance.
Oh?
Yeah. You don't believe me, do you, Niels?
I've learnt from working with members of the OSS and other similar intelligences that very seldom does one of its members tell the truth about his or her activities. Never mind, my friend. You may keep your secrets to yourself.
Yeah, I intended.
Well, at least you appear to be in better humor now. I take it you got what you wanted.
I think so. How about the damn yes? A job well done. One moment of adventure, one quick glimpse of the dangers for which I've been trained. After all these stifling years of waiting in the wings.
With peace around the corner, there probably won't be much for you to do now.
No, I reckon not. Would seem that my war, brief though it was, is now over. And I don't really mind a bit.
I may as well tell you right now, Mumford. We know about this raid you're working on.
Raid? My dear Holly, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you know, all right. What you don't know is that I sent an agent into Germany this morning to meet with one of their top-level officers. The information my man is bringing back could be very important to you.
I can't imagine what possible use a meeting with some German could do us.
That depends on the German. This one is a general in Hitler's own private staff. My man has been feeling him out on points that might prove vital to your assault team.
We have our own sources for that.
Maybe. But this German is close to the decision-making process. He'd be the one of the first to know if Hitler decided to pull out of Berlin. And what's more, he knows his way around the Chancellery.
Interesting. May one inquire as to why this German has offered his assistance to the Allies?
He hasn't. He has other things on his mind and thinks we can help him. We won't, of course. But we've dangled a bit of bait in front of his nose and insisted on another meeting in Berlin. We thought maybe about 11 o'clock this Friday night near that big park in the center of the city, if you get what I mean.
Even if we were planning the event you mentioned, what makes you think your General Figlein would be of any use to us?
How did you know his name?
You have your sources, I have mine.
Well, you must realize how valuable he could be as a guide through the Chancellery.
Guide? Now, whatever for? Assuming there were to be a raid, perhaps all we want are a few pertinent documents? Or to snatch a few members of the German General Staff?
Bull! Hitler's the target, and you know it.
If that were so, why would we need this guide of yours?
Come on. You don't even know exactly where the damn Führer bunker is. I know you've only had a couple of weeks to chew on this redoubt business and get ready, but you hardly manage the thing on the research end. Now, come on, admit it. A handful of aerial photos of the Chancellery grounds, that's all you've got. And they don't tell you a damn thing about what's buried there or where.
All right, damn you. Just what is it you want?
I'm just trying to lend a helping hand. I thought we could talk some kind of deal.
Now, Holly, I won't ask you how you found out what we're up to. Obviously, there's a leak in my system. But I must ask you to keep it quiet. If the Russians discover we're out to beat them to Hitler, they'll raise such a political row that we might never get off the ground.
Well, that's no problem. There'll be no need for me to say anything to anyone if you and I can come to terms.
That sounds like blackmail.
Not really. I'm offering something extremely valuable. A German who knows every nook and cranny of the Chancellery building and the Führer bunker, every stairway, every guard point. All I ask in return is a piece of the pie.
You're aware of the risks.
I know you can't get official sanction with the boys at SF headquarters. What I hear, the most they're willing to offer is unofficial cooperation on logistics.
And skimpy cooperation at that. If this mission fails, and the chances for failure are quite high, they've made it clear that the axe falls on my neck alone. Are you sure you want a piece of that?
I recognize the risks. But the rewards, if you succeed. Good heavens, have you thought about it? You'll be a damned hero. I definitely want in.
How far in?
For one thing. I've got some pretty good men sitting on their backsides doing nothing. I want some of them to go along.
How many?
Let's say 20.
Out of the question.
Far from it. You've got 4 transport gliders and not nearly enough top-rate SOE people available to fill them. It's hard to line up good men this late. I understand your operations chief only has about 36 so far.
You're quite wrong. Major Longland had nearly the full complement. At most, I might be able to send 5 of your OSS people.
Make it 15.
What makes you so sure Figlein will cooperate?
What choice will he have? When he shows up for that meeting and finds a full assault team waiting for him, he'll cooperate, I guarantee it. Well, let's not change the subject. My price also includes some responsible leadership in the mission. I want one of my people as Pathfinder. I've got just the man for it.
I couldn't think of it. Major Longland is in charge, and he's already assigned our Lieutenant Formoy as Pathfinder.
Maybe you should reconsider. The man I have in mind is the agent I sent to Germany, the only one for sure who can lure Fagerlein out in the open. His name is Bascom. Henry Bascom.
Bascom. I've heard of him. He's quite short on experience, isn't he?
Oh, hell no. Where'd you hear that? Bascom's a crackerjack OG man, one of my best. Done jumps all over the place. More important, he knows Berlin like you know the lines in your hands. Lived there a couple of years before the war. Speaks fluent German. I tell you, he's perfect for the job.
I'm afraid there's a problem you apparently don't know about. Something between your Captain Bascom and my Major Longland.
What kind of problem?
It seems Longland and Bascom have both been dallying with the same girl. Each over the extreme objections of the other.
Why, damn, nobody cares about their love lives. Anyway, how do you know?
The lady in question is an employee of mine. I've seen them both in her company. I've also seen the way the two men look when they come face to face. Best to keep them separated.
Stuff. They'll just be that much more determined to outdo each other in the field. Besides, I'll have to insist.
I see. The most I can offer is to let Captain Bascom accompany Formoy in the pathfinding plane. No matter how you regard the man, I can't afford to put the whole mission in the hands of an unprepared, inexperienced agent.
He goes as an equal. I don't care who does the work. This Formoy guy of yours can run the show, but he does it as Bascom's equal partner. Agreed?
Have you told young Bascom what you have in mind?
Not yet. What difference does that make?
Oh, none, I suppose. Very well, an equal partner. Yes, Colonel Norman?
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, but Major Rutherford's office inquires if you've forgotten your 6 o'clock appointment, sir.
Oh, damn. All right, sorry. Tell them I'll be there in 5 minutes. I must go, Holly. The next time you decide to indulge in inter-agency arm-twisting, please don't just barge in without an appointment.
Well, sir, how did it go?
Perfectly, Colonel Norman. Just as we thought it would.
Splendid. How many men will he give us?
15. He offered 20, but I didn't want to seem too eager. I was afraid for a moment I might be forced to bargain him down to 10, but he proved to be even greedier than I expected.
American, sir.
If you think so. Tell Longland he can come up now, would you? I'm afraid he'll have to make up the difference any way he can.
Yes, sir. And Sergeant Christie, would you like to see her, too?
Anne? What on earth for?
Why, to thank her, sir. It seems she must have done a good job on young Bascom.
Oh, good heavens, no. I shouldn't want her to think we've been using her. You know, women get very touchy about that sort of thing. No, I'd prefer her to think she's merely been passing along odd bits of friendly chit-chat.
As you wish, sir.
By the way, it's a pity I didn't ask you to buzz sooner.
Yeah?
I had to agree to take Captain Bascom along on the pathfinding plane as well. I shouldn't mention his role in this to Longland just yet if I were you. I'll have to do a little tactful preparation first.
Oh, yes, sir. Anything else, sir?
Yes, you might as well open a permanent file for our operation. Now that we've managed to acquire Holly's help, it looks as though it will definitely be on.
Yes, sir. For what it's worth, I've thought of a name for the mission that seems to fit nicely.
Oh?
Considering the fact that our boys might be bringing out some rather unusual prisoners, what would you think of Export?
Oh, excellent, Colonel Norman. We'll use it.
Prospect of being back home seems to please you, Bascom.
Yeah, it does.
No more missions?
Oh, I shouldn't think it likely. I was actually thinking of something else.
Oh?
I wouldn't be surprised if Holly lets me have the evening off when I get back. There's a young lady I'd like to pay my respects to.
Well, my friend, it looks like you're going to have a quiet time from now on.
The 13th Hour, with Roger Dwyer as Henry Bascom. The cast includes Ronald France, Karen Short, Glyn Day, Robert Dalkirk, Gordon Finroyan, Stephen Gurney, and John Dennison. Sound effects by Eckhard Barr. Audio recording by Johann Stassen.
You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m.
John Lee's dramatic novel, The 13th Hour, is adapted for radio by John Cavigia and produced by Andre Botner.